Ah, well, good morning. What a great fall day. What a great fall weekend. It's got to be one of my favorite times of year, I think. The trees as they turn color and this air, it's fantastic. I was in Edmonton last weekend and for a wedding. It was the first wedding of that next generation of people coming up. So my son's cousin was getting married, and so it was great to be there. But when I woke up, I think we came back on Tuesday, right? Tuesday. When I woke up on Tuesday or Monday, it had snowed in Edmonton. And so when we got here and the trees are turning color and the sun is shining, we're like, yes, we're back in God's country. So it's good to be in the sunshine. I don't know how they do it. I just don't know how they do it over there. But anyway, we get to live here, so we are blessed for sure. Today's going to look a little bit different, and so I just encourage you to enjoy today. There's going to be a little bit of, there's going to be a little bit of participation involved with you as well, so this will be great together as we walk through what we're going to talk about today. In our quest as a church, well, first of all, our title is this. The title is Free at Last. That's our title. Before we get into it, our title is Free at Last. And there really is, as I was looking through my message, I really never found a big idea that I wanted to share. I couldn't articulate it in one sentence. So there's no big idea today. And so, unfortunately for you, but you will get it as we go through, I'm sure of it. So that'll be good. Okay, but you know, in our quest as a church to better understand the story that God is telling through his word, as we've been walking through the scripture from Genesis. We started last January. Do you remember that? Last January started right at the beginning in Genesis 1:1. And over the last 4 weeks, except for last week as Stan was here, we have been doing some teaching and walking through for the last few weeks looking at Jesus. We've spoken about him as the Logos from John, the creator of everything, God himself, who wrapped himself in human flesh and came to earth. We followed Jesus into the wilderness as he fasted for 40 days and was put to the test. As we spoke, tests are designed to be revealers of truth. And what truth did these tests reveal as we saw Jesus in the garden, in the wilderness? It revealed that Jesus was really the Son of God. And in all the areas where we were incapable of choosing right, Jesus chose right for us. And as Paul describes, he becomes like a second Adam, who instead of choosing to eat the fruit, chose to trust the Father. And then we saw Jesus calm the storm and set some demon-possessed people free. We saw that this really was the Son of God. He was no mere human being who came and was dwelling on the earth. He was the God that could control the sea. And that he was here to deal with evil at its core, to set people free from the slavery that really binds us, the slavery of sin. And last time we saw Jesus confront Zacchaeus, an evil man. He confronted an evil man with love, with extravagant love. And in response to this extravagant love, there was an extravagant response of repentance, which ushered in salvation. And today we move along in the story of Jesus. And I think, you know, as we're walking along through the story of Jesus, I know we're kind of like on a schedule to get through all of this stuff by the end of the year for sure. But there are so many places that I would like to stop and visit along in the story as I'm going through and looking at Jesus. But we have to continue to move on. I think next year we're going to spend some time just in looking, doing a series on the teachings of Jesus. So we'll spend some more time in that in 2019. But today, we're going to land at the Last Supper. Jesus has been in Jerusalem for around a week. The leaders, they're very upset with him. He is a wanted man. The time is now drawing close for him to go to the cross. But before he does, he wants to reveal something incredibly profound and incredibly powerful to his disciples. This is the last moment that they're going to share together. And once again, as they come together, he reveals to them what this is all about, why he's here, and what he's about to do. This is right at the time of Passover. And yes, this is part of God's big story and part of his plan. And really, as I've been meditating on this week, it's really mind-boggling when you really sit and consider what God has done and what he is doing and how he has been working the story of God through history. That all of this would happen and culminate at this moment in Passover. And so if you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn to the book of Mark. We've spent some time in John. We've spent some time in Matthew. Last time we looked in the book of Luke, and now we're at the book of Mark. Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 25 is what we're going to read. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." Then the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and say to him, one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, again, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the profoundness of your word. And Lord, as we come today and we're going to look at your word and what you are doing, Lord, I pray that you would just teach, that you would show us something, that you would speak to our heart, that you, Lord, would open our eyes to see things maybe in a new way or some one of those moments where we just kind of click and we get something today that you want us to get. Just as you sat there with those disciples that evening and you shared this Passover meal with them, in hopes that they would see something even more. Lord, I pray that as we do the same in a way, that we would see what you're up to and what you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love how Jesus starts this section. It's kind of like a spy movie. You know, the disciples ask, "Hey, where are we going to go and eat and celebrate the Passover?" That's a great question. It's like your kids in the back seat of the car when you're traveling somewhere. "When are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat?" And Jesus, he goes and he says to them, he says, go into the city and you'll find a man carrying a jar of water. Follow him. I mean, this kind of sounds like there's a lot of people in the city. Just go into the city, find that man walking with a jar of water. Follow him. And it sounds like some 007 kind of stuff, you know? I would love to hang out with Jesus for a day, I think. Even just to be a fly on the wall, to see all of this stuff. So the two disciples, they say, okay. And off they go into the city. I wonder if they question. I don't know. Maybe they've been with Jesus long enough not to know, not to question, and just to do. I'm not sure. But they follow Jesus' directions. And sure enough, they run into the guy carrying a jar of water. The city's packed full of people. I think there'd be a lot of people. But anyway, they run into this guy and they follow him. They do exactly as he says and they prepare for the Passover. Has there anyone here ever participated in a Passover meal before? A couple? A few? Oh, wow. Okay, great. That's excellent. It's quite a great experience. In a way, if you have come to church for the last 3 weeks, then in a way, you have as well. Because on the evening as Jesus sits with his disciples together, they have a Passover meal. And as they sit together and participate in this meal, Jesus begins to reinterpret this meal. He reinterprets this meal in light of himself. And we call this meal the Last Supper, and we celebrate this meal in communion as we hold the cup. And the cup that we take in communion signifies the third cup of the Passover meal. As we eat the cracker, it signifies the unleavened bread of the Passover meal. And so today, instead of having like a normal sermon, I know we've kind of started out normal, I would like to walk you through a loose, scaled down Passover meal, similar to the one that maybe Jesus might have had. Now in 70 AD, the temple that was built, we remember by Zerubbabel, we looked at the book of Haggai, and when they didn't want to build it anymore, but they ended up building this temple, and Ezra and Nehemiah, and they came as they had come back from Babylon. But that temple in 70 AD was destroyed by the Romans. And so things in regards to the Passover meal changed. As things have come along over the last few thousand years as well, you can imagine a few things have changed. And not a lot, but some things have been added along the way. And so as you watch today, you may see things that are part of the Passover today that maybe weren't back then. And secondly, if you remember, there was a rabbi. His name was Rabbi Gamaliel. Do you remember Rabbi Gamaliel? Anyone? You remember him? Okay. If you don't remember him, Paul said that he was taught by him. If you remember that in one of his things, I was taught by Rabbi Gamaliel. He had quite a profound impact on the Jewish culture of his day. And even today, he is quoted in this book here, which is the Passover Haggadah, which with Jews. This is the book that they walk through the Passover meal. And he says here that you have you haven't had a Passover unless these three things are done or explained. First, the Passover offering. Second, the unleavened bread. And third, the bitter herbs. And so those three things will be definitely present, so we'll qualify according to that. Also, due to time, we can't do everything, obviously. This meal can take like 2 hours, and as fun as it would be for you to watch me eat for 2 hours, we're not going to do that. So we got like 20 minutes to work our way through this. So we're going to get going. Passover, God told the Jewish people to keep the Passover as a memorial forever. He told them to remember his mighty deeds on their behalf, his deliverance from the bondage in Egypt. Passover is central to God's plan for redemption. And so Jesus, he sits down for a Passover dinner. We know that his disciples were there. We don't really know if anyone else was. And today, I've invited a young man that probably lots of you know to come and to help me. So we're going to quickly get this going for you. So, whoops, there goes his music. So I'm going to get my wife, too, because she was sitting in the front. You don't want to sit in the front. Okay. So, Asaf, why don't you come and give me a hand, too? I'll give you that. And maybe these two. Okay, you want to take that? So we're going to put it right up front here. Oh, yeah, we got the good candle holders there, too. They're too wobbly. Okay, we'll put them in the cell. They're too wobbly. Nope. All right. There we go. And I'm going to get a cushion. They reclined at the table, you see. And so I was just thinking, you know, as we started, I'm really grateful for the guy that invented chairs. Okay. And Saf, I'm going to get you a microphone. And we're going to work, make sure it's off mute. Okay. There you go. All right. You want to put on your kippah? This is a kippah, by the way. It goes on your head. It's nice. The reason they wear these is it signifies being under God, just so you know. So, okay. This is also going to be our linen. I know it's a tablecloth. I mean, a dish rag, but that's okay. We don't have everything. We don't want to. But anyway, this is Asaf, for those of you that don't know. And Asaf, why don't you tell us where you're from? Tell us where were you born? Tell us.
Born in Petah Tikva, Israel.
You're born in Israel? Yeah. Okay. Now, is your whole family, are they Jewish?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you celebrate Passover every year?
I do.
Okay. So if you were brought up Jewish, how did you come to find Jesus? Or I guess more realistically, how did Jesus find you?
In elementary school, I had a friend named Jordan. He invited me to Soul Trek, and after coming to Soul Trek, I found Jesus, and that was it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, process.
Yeah, and now you're a leader at Soul Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great to see what Jesus has done in your life. So the Passover meal begins. We're usually with washing hands, but we're not going to wash our hands today. Just add some more things. But it begins. I'm not going to wash. Oops, my keeper fell off. So we begin by lighting the candles. In a Jewish home, the woman would light the candles and say the blessing. So if you're a woman here today, we invite you to say the blessing with us as we start our meal. As Christians, we recognize that the light of the world was brought into this world through a woman. And so I've invited my wife to come, and she's going to light the candles. And this is the blessing here. And so I'm going to invite the women to say, along with my wife, if you can pass her that microphone, Asaf.
Say it and then light, or does it matter?
Just light.
I should have come to the 11. This is
Yeah, just light it and say it.
Okay, it's all right. I'm going to light. Is that okay? I did it wrong.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get her. Okay, ladies, say with me. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with thy commandments and commanded us to kindle the festival lights.
All right. Thank you, dear. We now drink the first of the four cups of wine. It's wine because wine is the drink of free people. Slaves don't drink wine. However, slaves, I don't think, drink grape juice either. So we are going to have some grape juice instead of wine, but I had to put it in this thing just make it look a little bit more official. So we're going to do this here. Oops. All right.
We have enough.
Hopefully we have enough. Oh, we'll have enough. All right. So the first cup is part of the Kaddish, or Thanksgiving. This is the cup of sanctification. And God promised that he would bring his people out from under the cruel oppression of the Egyptians. Of course, this parallels God's promise of redemption to his people through faith in the Son, Jesus. And so the first glass of wine, Asaf is going to do his best to say this in Hebrew, the blessing in Hebrew. And so, Asaf, would you do that? And then we'll all say it together in English. It will be up there. You remember it all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, barei pri hagafen.
Wonderful. Let's say it all together in English. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. Amen. I think I'm done my cold, so all good. Good thing we're doing this. Well, that's okay. We then take a green vegetable and we eat it, and we dip it in this salt water here. This is not necessarily a great tasting meal. Parts of it are. Parsley dipped in salt water. The green stands for life, and the salt water represents tears. Tears that the Israelites' lives were immersed in tears while slavery. And life without redemption is a life immersed in tears. And so as we were slaves to sin, you and I, as we were slaves to sin, without hope, our life too was also immersed in tears. And yet the salt water also represents the salt water of the Red Sea, as God redeemed his people and they walked through the Red Sea. And so too we were redeemed by God. Kids are also a part of the celebration, and they ask four questions. Now, I don't think kids were at the Passover dinner. Was Jesus sat there on his Last Supper? I'm not sure. As any of the research that I did said, it very possibly could be part of that time with these questions. And so I'm going to show you the questions that the kids commonly they ask these questions. I think it's the youngest kid. Is that right, Asaf, at the table? Yes. On all other nights, we may eat either leavened bread or unleavened bread. On this night only, unleavened bread. Why? On all other nights, we may eat any vegetable On this night, we are required to eat bitter herbs. Why? On all other nights, we are not bidden to dip our vegetables even once. On this night, we dip them twice. Why is that? On all other nights, we eat our meal in any manner. On this night, why do we sit around the table, gathered together in a ceremonial fashion? And so the head of the home comes, and this is one of the ways that they go through the story of the Exodus. And so for sake of time, I'm going to quickly make it in the two-minute version. As you know, it could probably go on for a long, long time. And so the head of the home would tell the story that we had gone down to Egypt as a people. And you remember the story of Joseph as they had gone down to Egypt because there was famine. And they settled there and became very large. And as they grew and became larger and larger, they threatened the Egyptians. And so they made us slaves. Well, I'm going to include myself in that. For over 400 years, we were slaves. But God heard our cries and sent Moses to bring us out of slavery, to bring us from slaves to freedom, to redeem us. It moves on from there to what's called the matzatash. The matzatash is a bag. Now, we don't have this bag, unfortunately. I wish we did, but we don't have one of those, and I couldn't justify going and buying one for one time. So I'll just tell you what it is. But the matzatash is a bag that represents unity. It's a bag in which you put three pieces of matzah bread. There are three in different, so inside the bag, there are three different pockets, and you put three different pieces of the matzah bread in there. There's represents unity, and it is three in one. Some say that it stands for the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Others would say, as they gathered, that it stands for priests, the Levites, and the people unified in worship. The Messianic Jews and myself as well very much see it as it stands for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, three in one. And now this bread we're going to take. Asaf, do you want to take the middle piece? Okay. So what they do is they take the middle piece. And when we look at it, this matzah bread isn't made with leaven, and so as the Israelites fled Egypt, they didn't have time to wait for the yeast, right? Yeast takes a long time to rise and all that, so they had to be ready to go and go quickly. And so they didn't have time to put yeast in it. But Rabbi Saul, as we all know, is also Paul, talks about leaven as though it represents sin. And so this bread represents sinless bread. And then to ensure that it doesn't rise, it is pierced and striped. So if you want to hold that up, you can see that. I don't know if you can see it. Maybe put it in front of the candle. I don't know if you can see it there. But there, it's been pierced, and it's also striped. Pierced, striped bread with no sin. It sounds like Isaiah the prophet when he refers to Jesus in Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, in the King James Version, it says, and by his stripes we are healed. And they take the middle piece and they break it. So you want to break that? And this is our linen. It's not a very nice linen, but... And then what they do is they wrap it in the linen and they hide it. They hide it away. Now, did they do this when Jesus was around? I'm not sure. I don't know. Very much could be. You're going to hide it somewhere. I see where you're hiding it. they hide it, or maybe kind of seems to me like a burying. But so they do this, and so they did this. They hid it. But they take this, and they hide it, and it's found later. And maybe it's in symbolically kind of buried. It's called the aphikomen, or it means he who is to come. At the end of the meal, the children search for the aphikomen, and the one who finds it gets a reward. I just see Jesus' fingerprints all over this meal. I don't know if you see them as we're going through, but I could just see them everywhere through this meal. And we come now to the cup of judgment, and we don't drink from this cup right away. We dip our finger in it for every one of the 10 plagues. So there's blood, frogs, lice, wild beasts, blight, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and death of the firstborn. And so we dip our finger in it Is there any in there? Okay, I'm going to do my pinky. You do you want to do 10? Okay, let's fill it up. Got to fill it up. Oh, my. Okay, hopefully we will have enough. There we go. So one, two.
Are you supposed to say each one?
No, I won't do that. I just said them all. We'll be okay. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like you said, we're supposed to say them all, but then I said them all already. But for 9 plagues, Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he wouldn't release the Israelites. On the last plague, God told Israel to take the blood of the lamb and to put it on the doorposts. Some suggest making the sign of the cross on the top and the two side pieces, on the top of the thing and the two side posts. And that night, death flew over the land, and there was weeping and wailing. And finally, Pharaoh cried out, "Let them go, or I will die." But everywhere that the blood of the lamb was applied, no death came. And so redemption came to the children of God. As Christians, this is really what we do to apply the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, to the doorpost of our hearts. So that when death comes, we now have eternal life. The scripture says, O death, where is your sting? We then drink the second cup, but first we recite Psalm 113. And so we're going to do that together. And so we'll put it up on the screen and invite you to recite Psalm 113 with us. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Then we drink. And now we eat the bitter herbs. Break, this is a matzah I was going to use for that. Is that okay? All right. He's here to keep me in line, make sure I don't go too far off. and we're going to, so we eat the bitter herbs. That's going to be that one there. And there is some of the blessing stuff, but we run out of time. So we'll work our way through this, don't worry. And then we use this, the matzah, to eat some horseradish that we cut up. Come on, Asaf. Okay. Have you ever eaten horseradish that's just been cut up? Oh, my goodness. Okay. So if we can't go on, you've got this, okay, Asaf? You could take the rest of this.
Take one.
One? Oh, you're weak, man, I tell you. Okay, so we'll eat this. But the horseradish, the tears that are shed, I'll say this before I do that, the tears that are shed by eating are representative of the tears shed in slavery in Egypt. As they ate this, Jesus says, "One of you who has eaten this will betray me." Good stuff. Oh, that's powerful. Okay. Then we move to the haroset, which is sweet, and it represents the mortar. It looks like this here. It represents the mortar that was used to make the bricks for the Pharaoh. And you might come to the rabbi as you're celebrating. You might ask, how come it's sweet? And the rabbi would say to you, the rabbi would say, because even though that it was hard building those bricks and making the mortar, we knew that our redemption drew near. And so it is with life that even in the most difficult times, our hardest of circumstances, there is a joy in knowing that this will not last forever, but hope comes in the morning. Even as those disciples sat there that evening, they didn't really know or understand all that was going on. There was a day coming when Christ would rise again. Whether they knew it or not, as much as they could, their redemption drew near. And so we'll eat some of this. It's probably not as good as it's supposed to be because I made it this morning. And
yeah. You have to hear your chewing.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. It's better than the horseradish, I'll say that. Now, there would have also been a lamb on the Seder plate, but since the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, they no longer eat the lamb, but they have a lamb's shank bone. In Exodus 12, God told Israel to take a yearling lamb and to sacrifice it and to eat it. And this was the custom even when Jesus was taking Passover at that time. In the New Testament, it doesn't mention them eating the lamb. I don't know if that was on purpose. I don't know if they had a lamb. I don't know. I kind of assume maybe they did. I'm not sure. But because I'm not sure, and they didn't mention it. If they mentioned it not on purpose or left it out on purpose, I wonder if it would be because Jesus would be the Passover lamb. The kids now go and they find the aphikoman. And since I know where it is, I'm going to go find it. Oh, my kippah fell off. Okay, so it's over here. Oh, look. Yay, I found it. Do I get a reward now? Thank you. Okay, so untake that and then give that, undo it there. And so now that the head of the house takes the aphikoman, and he begins to break off a piece for each person seated at the table. Thank you. Verse 22 from our text of Mark 14 says, "And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, 'Take, this is my body.'" And the scripture says that they took the cup after they had eaten. So this is the third cup. It is a cup of redemption. Each of these cups is connected to an I will statement from Exodus. And so this cup is connected to Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. It is the I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. When I read that, I was really, to be honest with you, I was really blown away. I will redeem you. Exodus 6, 6. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And as Jesus took the third cup, the cup of redemption, and he holds it up, and I thought, man, God, you were preparing for the cross in Exodus. And it blew me away. And Jesus, he raises the cup, and it says in verse 23, it says, "And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And the blessing is, and he took, 'Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine.' And they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God.'" The new covenant, that which Jeremiah promised, that God would write the law of God on their hearts, that which the disciples had been waiting for, that which had been promised to them, that new covenant has now come in my blood. And you can kind of imagine those disciples in that upper room having celebrated Passover their entire lives. They celebrated this Passover their whole lives, and now in that upper room, sitting there, and seeing its fulfillment right in front of them. Imagine that God wove the story of Israel and its freedom into the story that he is telling, one of redemption from sin. That's the redemption that you and I are a part of if we have applied the blood to our hearts, if we've applied the blood of Jesus, our Passover lamb. And what can we do? Well, we haven't drank in the third cup, so let's do that. Oh. What is our response to drinking the cup of redemption? I think all we can really do then is to praise him. The scripture says they sung hymns. And we see these hymns. We have a part of their hymnal with us. It's called the Psalms, particularly Psalm 113 to 118. I'd like to read to you from Psalm 118. It's one of the hymns that maybe they would have sung that night. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And after they do this, they take the fourth cup, the cup of praise. I'll fill it up again. Oh yeah, there's not much left. Good thing we opted for the grape juice.
A bit early for wine.
Yeah, it is. So that's our re-going over of our Passover dinner together. Tommy, you can stay there if you want, Asaf. I know that there's a few more things that are a part of it, but, you know, we've only got so much time. Whoa. But this moment in the upper room, as Jesus and his disciples, they celebrated Passover, it was a huge shift as Jesus takes this Passover. They've been celebrated for over 1,000 years. And Jesus reinterprets these events that had taken place so long ago. And as his followers, it is the very bedrock, you and I, it is the very bedrock of who we are. This is the center of our lives. People who were once enslaved to sin, but who have been set free and redeemed by his mighty outstretched arm. His arm on the cross. It shapes who we are. It shapes how we live. It shapes what we are about. No longer our own, but grafted into the family of the family of God, as a child of God. And every month as we come, we take the unleavened bread, the matzah bread that is broken. And we drink the cup of redemption. And we proclaim that we were enslaved, but we are now set free by the power of God. Friends, this is who you are. And just like the Jews, this is your story. As Paul said, we are no longer male or female, Jew or Greek, slave or free, barbarian, Scythian. We are children of God. This is our identity. This week, as we go about our work, as we go about school, as we meet with friends, as we gather in groups, as we sit at the dinner table with family and friends or stand on the sidelines of our kids' sporting events, my challenge to us, in light of what has happened, in light of what is happening, is to live who we are. Let's be true to who we are. We are a people who has been set free. Let us live that way. Let us live as redeemed people. Let this be our identity. Not my job, not my pain, not my fears, not my past, not my insecurities, but a people that has been set free by Jesus. This week, what would it look like for you to live as a free person? What would it look like for you to live as a child of the King? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your redemption. And Lord, as we were reading in Exodus 6:6, I will redeem you by my outstretched arm. I never really put that together until this week. And I thank you for the power of your outstretched arm. Lord, I pray that we as a people, we as followers of you, we who have been redeemed, would be people that would make this who we are, that this would be our identity, and that we as a people would live out of this freedom that you have called us to, Lord. And so I thank you that you have had this plan all along. I thank you that you have woven your story throughout history. I thank you that this shows us, even from Exodus to the Gospels, Lord, and from the Gospels on, you are still doing stuff. Lord, just as we proclaim at communion time, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ, you will come again. Jesus, you will come again, and we can have faith in that, and we can trust in that, and we can put our hope in you, because over the years, Lord, what you have done is you have continued to show yourself faithful. And so, Lord, I thank you that we can put our hope, our whole hope, and our trust in the God who has redeemed us by his outstretched arm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here today, and bless you. Thank you for watching Asaf and I eat today. if you're here today and you're in need of prayer, if you're going through something, I'd love to pray with you. I'll be up here for a few minutes. Other than that, enjoy the sunshine. There's coffee and tea out on the patio as well as some cookies. So have a great week.